Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
In the book of Acts, when we have water baptism, I do a quick teaching on water baptism, and we go and we move towards water baptism. But this is Resurrection Sunday, and so before they come, I'm going to take a few moments here, and I'm going to preach the word. And so in the book of Acts, chapter 17, I'll start with verse 29. Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of man. Those times of ignorance God overlooked. How about that? Out of his grace and mercy, he has overlooked our ignorance. But now he commands, pay attention to this. And now he commands all people everywhere, to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. I'm going to read this again. And I want you to hear it to the depths of your soul and understanding. It says, all people, everywhere, all people. I want you to turn a couple people around and you say, that's you and I, all people. All people. Those of you at home, all people. All people. Doesn't matter where you're from. Doesn't matter the color of your skin. Doesn't matter if you have a horrible history or just a mediocre history. All people, every nation, every tribe, every tongue, all people, through all time, all people everywhere. Toma, Tunnel City, Fort McCoy, Angelo, Cataract. I'm getting there. Give me a chance. I like when you guys start preaching my sermon. That's always fun. Yeah, Cataract, Little Falls, Burr Oak. Some of you are like, where is that? Would you get off the main highway once in a while? Yeah, Leon, Malvina. Yeah, Cashton, Portland. Westby, Viroqua. Bangor. Oh. Elroy. Kendall. Wilton. Norwalk. I'm not going to name them all. But all people everywhere. West Salem. Onalaska. La Crosse. La Crescent. Holman. Sparta. All people everywhere and beyond those boundaries, around the globe, all people everywhere, listen to this, all people everywhere to repent, to turn away from sin, turn your back on it. It has done you no favors. Turn your back on it. And you walk in a new direction after Christ. That's repentance. It is not just, I'm sorry and forgive me. Those words are important. They are an expression of faith in what Christ's work has done. But it also brings us into a new life. That you would be born again. You get a new genetic code of the Spirit. That the old nature dies. And he has given you a brand new nature. His nature in the Spirit of Christ. He died for it, to give to you, to take back what the enemy stole. Sin will do you no favor. I want to remind you of something. The enemy of your soul, Satan, he comes for three things. He comes to kill, he comes to steal, and he comes to destroy. I don't care how he looks and his smooth words and slithering shiny things of this world and whispering little doctrines and thoughts in your ear, and this is like a good thought, and after all, your friend who knows everything said this, and it was a really cool phrase. Now I want to build my life on it. Well, somebody said this on Instagram, and somebody said this here, and somebody said, and you just kind of come up with stuff. I want you to know Satan is out to kill you. He is out to steal from you, steal your soul. Oh, yeah, he'll cradle you, and it'll, you know, oh, yeah, see, don't believe in God, and life's rough, and he'll whisper all kinds of demonic doctrines of what your fallen nature and mine come from, to be, you know, kind of skeptical, and why believe, and after all, you know, my life, yeah, it's not great, but, you know, why change anything? Why really get better? Nobody does. I've done too much bad. Too much has been done to me. Oh, they mistreated me. They hurt me. And we just come up with all kinds of things. I want you to know that is the voice of the enemy speaking through your own mind and soul and through other people. He has come to steal from you, and he will steal your soul. And he'll do it while we're just being lulled asleep in our mediocrity and thinking rather than taking charge of knowing what Christ has done for us. He will kill you. He will steal from you. And he is out to destroy you. He will turn on you in a second. All those famous people who commit their soul to Satan and they become famous and musicians and all those kinds of stories, whether some of them are true or none of them are true. Well, I shouldn't say none of them. Some of them are true or all of them are true. Listen, he's going to turn his back on them and they'll be lost for eternity. I want you to remember the enemy of your soul. And what Jesus do? James writes this. He came to undo the work of the devil. Jesus came to save us. To speak words of life to you. Speak words of life to you. Kindness to you. Oh, will he discipline you? You bet he will. Because why? The scripture says, because he loves you. He doesn't want you and I lost in the end. Why do you think he came? You think it was a convenient trip from where he was to come and watch God take by a miracle his seed and drop it into a little virgin girl, that he would take on humanity, he would look like us and become acquainted what it is to be human and yet do it without sin? He loves you. It says all people everywhere repent. Because, get this, he has fixed a day. Fixed a day. It is on his agenda. It is on his calendar. He has fixed it. You can't call him up in prayer and say, hey, could you change the date? Because I'm really busy. I got a lot going on. And it's not just some fixed day where you and I get to have the option of, well, I don't need to attend the meeting. I don't really need to go. I mean, I've been in church. I've been doing pretty good. I even shared Jesus with somebody. I'm telling you that he has a day that is fixed on the calendar that we do not know. And that day is not changing. And on that day, you know what he's going to do? It says he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness. He will judge the world in righteousness. Not what you think is right or wrong. Not what I think is right or wrong. Oh, we learned some things. But it's not about our opinion. It's not about us who get situational ethics mixed in, or we've got a personal preference, so we build a case of what's right and what's not. He looks in and sees the heart of a person. He looks upon the heart. He sees you. He knows you. He knows me. He sees my heart. He knows our battle. He knows our tendency. He knows our corruption. He knows the stuff we still hang on to. He is coming on a fixed day to judge the world based upon righteousness. And Jesus knows about righteousness. All people everywhere to repent, because there's a day on which the judge will come and he will judge the world in righteousness by the man he has appointed. Yes, the very one, Jesus Christ. Listen, he was going to come. Now listen, when he came the first time, you know, we just went through this on Palm Sunday. He rode into Jerusalem on the foal of a donkey. The whole symbol part there, the customary thing there, is when they do this, that's a sign that I'm coming in peace. Can you imagine riding into a great battle on a little donkey? No, you come with peace. But Revelation 19 says this. There came from heaven a horse, a white horse, and his rider was called Faithful and True. You see, he came on a donkey, but he's coming on a white steed. And it says his eyes will be like flames of fire, and out of his mouth will come a sword. And he is going to judge nations and judge the world according to righteousness. Do you feel the need to repent yet? Anybody in the house need to be saved today? We need to recognize this one. This one who will come. And it's appointed on this day for him to come and judge the world in righteousness. This man got appointed. And watch this. And he says, of this he has given assurance. What that means is, how do we really know that's true? How do we know that this is true? What's the proof that what you're saying, what you're writing, what God is speaking through his word to us, where's the assurance that this is real? This is true, that it's going to happen. This is the assurance he gives. He says, in this he has given assurance to all by raising Jesus Christ from the dead. Amen. The proof that he can come again, because he is not made of gold or silver or the ingenuity of some man or their imagination or wood. He's the living God. Because he raised him from the dead. This Christ, born of a virgin, coming to the point of riding into Jerusalem, who suffered under Pontius Pilate, went through the judgment and scorn and torture, carrying the beam across his dislocated body, walking up a road to the place of the skull, up a hill to Calvary, where they laid him on wood from a tree that he created in the beginning. Nature. Interesting that he would submit himself to be judged by men, and when he himself is the perfect judge. And why he was fastened to that cross and nailed to it. They stood it up. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. That people would hear about the crucified Christ, that he would be lifted up, but not only in crucifixion, but that he would be lifted up in resurrection. It's not about the cross only. And so he was crucified till he was dead. Dead. No breath in his body. They made sure, they lanced his side. He was pierced for our transgressions, the prophet said. Crushed for our iniquities. that the peace we have gained because he bore our sins. He descended into hell. He was busy there. Now, Jerusalem and all the Jews and those who criticized him and the Romans, we got rid of the troublemaker. Well, little did they know, he was just getting started. He was crucified, dead, buried, put in a tomb. He descended into hell because he bore sin. Because the wages of sin is death. But this righteous Christ went into hell. He was busy. He was preaching the word. And before he rose on the third day, he just happened to pick up the keys to death and hell. That he has all dominion, all authority, all power in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. And he broke forth from the portal of hell, and he showed up on earth, back in Jerusalem, alive, seen by many people over the next 40 days. Yeah, and they thought they got rid of trouble. He shows up and he starts meeting with the people, teaching the people, talking to the people. Now, when he was crucified and he died, the veil in the temple was torn in two. Earthquakes happened and it split rocks and it opened tombs. But when he rose from the dead on the third day, those tombs that were open, the scripture says, those many who were dead came out alive, walking around Jerusalem. You want to know about trouble? Come quick. Uncle Joe's, he's outside. Yeah, yeah. No, no. Uncle Joe, come on in. Family freaks out. Uncle Joe, don't worry about it. Elizabeth here. Your wife, you've been gone so long, don't worry about it. She's now married to your brother James. Figure that one out. Yeah. He rose again. And he has all the dominion, all authority. And the proof that he has been raised and that he's alive is the reason that he will come back. This is the resurrected Christ. This is about him paying a price for my sin and yours. And it's about him resurrecting. That the temple they destroyed, he will raise in 3 days, his body. And he ascended into heaven in front of his disciples. And I want you to know, Scripture says he's coming back the same way. He will come and his feet will touch down. And he warns us, all people everywhere repent, for he is coming to judge the world, you and I, based on righteousness. He's the judge. He knows. He is full of grace and truth, but this time he's coming on a steed. And you and I better solve it with him before he gets here on his white horse. He has made a way for you and I. And I want you to know there is no other way to the Father in heaven, to God, except through Jesus Christ. Faith in him. It's what Jesus said. I go to prepare a place for you. And I would not tell you this unless it's true, so that I can come back and receive you unto myself. But no one will go to the Father in heaven except through me, for I am the way, the truth, and the life, he said. Amen. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. You could say, oh, that sounds like hate speech. What about other religion? We're supposed to coexist. We're supposed to be tolerant. It sounds like hate speech. Yeah, it is hate speech. He hates sin and what it has done to humanity because he loves us. And he came and he fixed it. And there's one way. That's it. It's it. It is through him and him alone. It is the glory of the cross. It is the power of his resurrection. And the beauty is this. That same spirit, Paul writes, that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will quicken your mortal body on that day that you too will raise because he's made a way for you. All of our sin and our darkness and everything can be washed away and it will not hold us back from eternity with God. So all people everywhere, everywhere, repent. Repent. Forsake the old way. Come to him. Put your trust in him. Grow to know him. He's full of grace and truth. I'm preaching with force this morning, and it may sound like I'm yelling at you. I'm not yelling at you. I'm just yelling. There's a difference. And everything I say applies to me first. The letters before my name do not make me exempt. Many a preacher have lost their way and were disqualified in the end. How can any of us think we could be any different? I have got to stay with him. I got to follow him. I need him to keep me. I need to keep repenting. I need to keep walking with him. Who do we think we are? We can just come to church. We can throw a few bucks and raise our hands and do this. And then during the week, we just kind of, well, whatever. I'll read my daily devotion this one day. And yet we live according to our flesh and our own desires. And we're so taken with the things of this world to the point that, you know, it robs our soul and takes us further from Christ. I'm not saying we shouldn't have things. I'm not saying you can't have money. I'm not saying you can't have good things, nice things. That's not what I'm saying. But when those things start to rob our soul and it starts to take priority and we don't serve Christ and we don't serve the body of Christ, we just come and attend church. We don't volunteer. We don't serve. We don't do things behind the scene. We don't step into where a need is. You know what? That religion, it looks like it's fake if we don't do that. Take care of widows. Your religion is true. Take care of your own family so that you're not a burden to the church. That's what it says. The church is there to help and support the body of Christ. So if you don't take care of your family, you're an infidel. Your faith is worthless. Where's the living church? I want to read this to you, the closing verse of this passage. Now, when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, remember he just said, the proof is Jesus raised from the dead. The audience who was there. Now, when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. But others said, we'll hear you again about this. In other words, they were going to think about it. So Paul went out from their midst, but some men joined him because they believed. Let me ask you something. Who are you in that crowd? You mock it? You thinking about it in a serious way? Or do you believe? Who are you in that crowd? Who are you in that crowd this morning when you hear the preaching of the foolishness of the cross, which is the wisdom of God for the salvation of your soul and mine, and a resurrection that is proven and it assures us as Jesus is coming back. And he's telling me through his word, Randy, you've got time right now. Today's the day of salvation. What about you? Will you mock? Will you at least, if you're going to leave, think about it in a serious way? I want you to picture him coming peacefully on a colt, dying on a cross, raising from the dead, and coming back on a white steed, ready to judge in righteousness and make war. because that's who he is. At that moment, the mocker, it's too late. For those who thought about it, think about it sincerely, count the cost. But I hope and pray that you would feel the draw of the Holy Spirit to come to Christ, start a new walk and start a new life, forgiven, free from the past. Listen, he's strong, but he's gentle. And I'm grateful. I need him to be strong with me, but I've also needed him to be gentle, and he has. And the gentleness of his grace, and yet the power of his grace, and the beauty of his mercy, it can lead us right smack dab in the relationship with Christ. There are people who are going to come and stand here for a minute before you. They're going to be water baptized. And that baptism has to do with them coming to a point and saying, I believe upon Jesus Christ, my Savior. And I want the old life to be forgiven and gone and killed, and I want to be raised to new life in Christ. And it's this whole immersion, full immersion, a baptism that we go down. It's like going to a grave. And then the resurrection power, a new life. We come up out of the water. It's not the action or the water that makes the difference. It's the inward faith that has led to the outward expression of being baptized. These people are coming not so they can get wet and do some religious thing. They're coming because they believe in Jesus. And they want to be as far from their past and their past to be dead and a brand new life in Christ and to follow him and obey him and learn him and know him. That's why they're coming. Because Christ has brought a change to their life. And they're not perfect yet, but neither is this old man. But he shall perfect us to the day. He will finish what he started. He is faithful. And if you're here this morning and you've not given your life to Christ, I'm going to ask, I'm going to give you opportunity to say, this Easter morning, I can't just come to church again and just go through some other Easter and another holiday and wait to have my ham this afternoon as a good Gentile or whatever you're eating. You're here on Easter, and it's about his resurrection because he cares for you. Will you put your faith in him? Will you trust him? He's going to keep pressing on you. He's going to keep drawing you. He's going to keep pestering you. He's going to keep coming after you because you matter to him. He made a very inconvenient journey to prove it. And he wants you there. He does not want you lost. And his blood, that is for the forgiveness of sin, his blood, you listen to this, his blood is more powerful than any deep, dark, vampire, dark sin that you ever committed in your life. His blood is more powerful than embracing the guilt and shame and condemnation. It's not getting you anywhere. It's hindering you from stepping into the newness of life in Christ Jesus. I want you to bow your head, please, all over this room. If you are here this morning and you need to ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and life, I just want to pray for you. That's all I want to do. I just want to pray for you. And it's not that my prayer is real holy. It's just I remember back to the day. I remember back to the day where I put my faith in him in a very personal and real way. And he's watched my ups and downs and my ins and outs through this life. He's never stopped caring, never stopped loving, he's never stopped helping. And he's moved me along. It doesn't mean the trials are over, the hardships of this life. I don't know what's around the corner, but I know that he's faithful.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.